And now, stories from the history of Greater India, the divine Mahabharata. Anyone who bathes himself in the nectar of these tales will emerge with greater courage, stronger will, and a purer heart.
Today's title in the Mahabharata series, Jealousy Manifests in the Heart of the Envious Duryodhan. On the death of their father, King Pandu, the five Pandava brothers with their mother Kunti left their forest home, where Pandu had been living in austerity, and went toward Hastinapur, the seat of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. The Pandava princes and their mother, escorted by the rishis of Satashringa, reached Hastinapur. The citizens were amazed at the sight. News reached Bhishma and Dhritarashtra about the arrival of these people. They went to the gates of the city to receive the strange guests, a group of sages, a woman whose sad eyes haunted everyone, and the five young men whose beauty and princeliness caught everyone. Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Balika, the brother of Santanu, his son Somadatta, the wise Vidura, Satyavati, Ambalika, Ambika, Gandhari, and the others went with the large retinue to the gates of the city. A memorable sight met their eyes. They saw Kunti with the five young princes, like an arani with five flames leaping out of it. The sages were adored by the Kaurava elders, and then they spoke.
You are all aware of the fact that the great Kuru prince Pandu, having renounced the pleasures of the world, was living with his wives, Kunti and Madri, on the picturesque hills of Satashringa. Pandu was dearly loved by all of us. During his stay with us, Pandu became the father of five sons. Three of them, this young man by the name of Yudhisthira, this Bhima, and this child Arjun, are the sons of Kunti, born of the god of religion, the god of wind, and Indra, the king of heaven. Those other two boys who are standing near Kunti are called Nakula and Sahadev, born as sons of Madri. They are the sons of the celestial Ashwin twins. When Yudhisthira was 15, Pandu performed all the religious rites for these young men. Now, 17 days ago, Pandu died and went back to his forefathers. We duly performed all the funeral rites. The Queen Madri accompanied him on the funeral pyre. We have brought these young men, the future hopes of your Kuru house, and their mother. It is up to you, Bhishma and Dhritarashtra, to take up the guardianship of these fatherless children.
And with these words, the sages left. The entire city was sunk in woe. Bhishma was speechless with sorrow. He was shocked and pained at the thought that he could no longer see his young nephew, Pandu, who left them all years back. Dhritarashtra was grieved at the loss of his brother and companion. Memories came crowding back, memories of the days of his childhood and boyhood, when Pandu, with his love and gentleness, made him forget that he was blind. Tears choked him. Ambalika was struck senseless. Her grief was inconsolable. They all returned to the palace. Dhritarashtra asked Vidura to make arrangements for a royal mourning and funeral rites to be performed for the dead Pandu in a manner fitting to the son of the Kuru house, the great sage Vyas came to preside over the function. Afterwards, when it was all over, Vyas approached his mother, Satyavati, and told her,
"Mother, the happy days are over. Terrible, dreadful times are in store for the house of the Kurus. Every single day will be burdened with sinful acts. The world is well past her youth now. Just another few years, and sin will prevail in the mind of your dear grandson Dhritarashtra and his sons. After that, there will be nothing but the devastation of jealousy and envy. Mother, you have not the strength of mind to watch your great-grandchildren destroy each other. Yes, I said destroy each other in a great war to come in the future. Why do you tarry here? Now is the time to retire to the forest and turn your back on this world."
Satyavati agreed. She called Ambika and Ambalika and told them that she was going away to the forest and asked them if they were willing to go with her. They were only too willing to go away from the city and try to forget their pain. Indeed, fate had not been kind to these three women. They had been chosen targets for disappointments and heartaches. They were only too happy to go away from that dreadful city which held so many painful memories for them. Satyavati thought of her futile life, the few years of happiness which she spent with Santanu. Even those years were not quite happy for her, because she knew that her happiness was built on the unhappiness of Bhishma. Then came the death of her lord, followed hard upon by the death of her own sons. Then came the birth of the three children of Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. Disappointments followed one another, and now this dreadful prophecy of Vyas, that there was nothing but annihilation in store for the great Kuru house. She was grateful to her son for the respite he suggested. Her daughters-in-law were only too happy, eager, in fact, to escape from a city which had never given them any happiness. From the moment Bhishma brought them there by force, they had just been pawns in a game played by their mother-in-law. They were made to marry Vichitravirya. Then followed the tragic story of their beloved sister Amba, and they could never forget the pain. A few years of happiness with their husband, then came his tragic death and their months of loneliness. This was broken by the commands of their mother-in-law. They had to bear sons to uphold the name of the family. The dreadful experiences they had had when Vyas was called to bear their children, the children which proved to be such disappointments to the queen mother, whose ambition was immense. The two women, still toys in the hands of Satyavati, agreed to go away to the forest with her. Ambalika was almost dead when her own son died, and she was grateful for the peace that the forest promised. They just wanted to forget. There is one thing more powerful than all the weapons of death. It is unwillingness to live. It baffles death as nothing else can. When one is no longer interested in the events of the world, the state is worse than death. These three women, Satyavati, Ambika, and Ambalika, had reached that stage. To them, nothing mattered any longer. They set out willingly for the forest, in search of peace to soothe their bruised hearts. Just before setting out for the forest, the three queens took farewell of all the members of the royal household. Satyavati sent for Bhishma, and she told him about her decision. he was very unhappy. She was the link between him and his dear departed father.
Why, mother? Why should you leave me and go away? Will you not stay behind and help me to bear the burden of sorrow?
Satyavati told him,
My son, I will not stay. Vyas told me that there is nothing but annihilation in store for the house of the Kurus. I had thought that I was a brave woman, but I am not. I cannot see the destruction of the Kuru family. I will escape into the forest. On this I am firm.
Annihilation? Tell me more about this prophecy of Vyasadeva.
And as Satyavati told him, Bhishma's face was white and drawn with pain. He said,
I find that after hearing this, I also am willing to play the coward. My father has granted me a boon. He said that I can die whenever I please. After hearing this from you, I think there is nothing left to live for, Mother. Permit me also to summon death and go back to the arms of my mother Ganges.
No, you shall not. This is the reason for my calling you. I leave these youngsters in your hands. It is up to you to see that the house of the Kurus is firmly established in this world. You must not dream of retiring from this world until this duty is performed. Once I commanded you to do something for me, and then you refused. This time you cannot. I command you, guard these children.
Bhishma bent his head down in silent consent. And thus they parted. Satyavati, to find the peace that had been denied her all these years. Bhishma, with the burden of life imposed on him, till fate thought fit to relieve him of its crushing weight. For the first time in their lives, the young Pandava princes tasted the life of luxury that was theirs by birthright. They were all youngsters, the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra. The palace gardens were filled with the voices of boys at play, and Bhishma spent a few days of happiness listening to the voices of his grandsons. It was then that evil was born in the heart of Duryodhan. Bhima was a wild lad. He enjoyed teasing the other boys. He was the strongest of the lot, and in any kind of fight, he would be the winner. In boxing, in wrestling, in any game of strength, he was able to defeat all the others. If they were on top of a tree, his favorite game was to shake the tree by the roots and make the boys fall from the tree like so many fruits. And they all resented this. Bhima was bubbling over with energy, or rather the excess of energy. That was his inheritance from his father. Taking defeat and humiliation with a smiling face in the form of hypocrisy, which we are able to develop as we grow older, it is entirely absent when we are young. A defeated child will always shout and storm at the winner. The sons of Dhritarashtra were true to nature, and they resented the supremacy of Bhima. Bhima, too, in all fairness to his cousins, was a bit of a bully. He enjoyed teasing the other boys and humiliating them. It was all very childish. But the heart of Duryodhan, the young boy, was full of anger and sullen hatred and jealousy. He hated his cousin Bhima with all his little might and heart. The poor boy thought out ways and means of avenging this extreme humiliation. He was a spoiled child. Till now he was the sole master of the entire palace. He was, too, the sole heir to the affection of his grandfather, Bhishma. This intrusion of the cousins was something he did not bargain for. Here were rivals who were being petted by his beloved grandfather, who had been so very fond of him only till now, and he was wild with jealousy. Bhima was a rival who was getting the better of him in everything. "I wish he were dead" is a common form of expression of an angry child, and Duryodhan too wished that Bhima were dead. Ordinary children would have outgrown this stage, but Duryodhan was not an ordinary child. His father was selfish and avaricious. Duryodhan inherited these qualities, and he thought far ahead. He did not want these cousins of his to prosper. He thought that with the death of Bhima, his future as the king of the country would be reassured. It was here, at this pitiable stage, that Shakuni entered. Shakuni, the uncle of Duryodhan and his evil mentor. He fanned the spark of hatred in the heart of Duryodhan till it became an all-consuming flame. There was no place for any other feeling in the heart of the young prince except hatred for the Pandavas in general and for Bhima in particular. Sleep left his eyes and he was unhappy. Shakuni and Duryodhan hatched a plot to destroy Bhima. The young boys went to the bank of the river Ganges. They spent the whole day there playing various games. It was a picnic. When evening came on, Bhima was very tired and hungry. Duryodhan took him inside the tent and himself fed him the choicest kinds of food. Bhima was simple and without guile. He could never see through the actions of others, and he ate his food not knowing that Duryodhan had mixed the deadliest of poisons with it. Tired, young Bhima lay down and promptly fell into a deep sleep. The sleeping form of Bhima was bound up with strong ropes. Duryodhan then flung him into the waters of the Ganges, where they were placed with many snakes spitting deadly poisons. And the return to the city was being planned. Yudhisthira looked everywhere for Bhima. He was nowhere to be seen. Yudhisthira thought perhaps that he had already reached the city. He went home in a hurry and asked his mother,
"Mother, is Bhima here yet?"
And Kunti was surprised.
"No, he has not come back."
Looking at the face of Yudhisthira, she was frightened. He told her that he was nowhere to be seen. The four boys returned to the banks of the river and searched for their brother everywhere.
"Bhima! Bhima!"
They called out to him, but to no avail.
"Bhima!"
Only the wild echoes of their voices reached them. Their search was fruitless. They returned home and told their mother that he was not to be seen anywhere. Frightened, Kunti sent for Vidura and told him that Bhima was missing. They told him everything, and Kunti said,
"Duryodhan does not look on my son with love. I fear that he has killed my child when he was sleeping."
Vidura comforted her, saying,
"Don't worry, my dear sister. It's up to you to protect the other four. If Duryodhan knows that we suspect him, then he will try to kill the others also. It's been said by the sages that your sons will be long-lived. Do not show your feelings. I am sure that Bhima is safe. He will come back to you soon. Possess your heart and patience, and do not let Duryodhan know that you suspect him."
After these words of comfort, Vidura left. Young Bhima, who had been flung into the river with his limbs tied with creepers, still slept on. Suddenly, he felt something stinging him. The snakes had begun their work. they all, together and one by one, began to bite him all over. A strange thing happened. The poison of the snakes proved to be an antidote to the terrible poison which had been eaten by Bhima. He woke up and began to kill the snakes. Some of them were able to escape, and they went to the nether regions. They reached the abode of Vasuki, their master, and they told him,
"Vasuki, there is a man, or perhaps he is the king of serpents. 1,000 serpents have already stung him, and it only woke him from a deep sleep. Now he has broken all his bonds, and he is bent on killing all of us. It is but proper that you should come quickly to see him."
Vasuki was led by his associates to the place where Bhima was. And Vasuki recognized him to be Bhima, the son of Kunti, and embraced him. He told his minister,
"Give him riches and jewels to his heart's content. I am very pleased with him."
And his minister replied,
"I would like to make a suggestion. He's a prince. Jewels and riches will be of no use to him. Why don't we feed him with our elixir, which gives great strength?"
Vasuki was pleased with the suggestion of his minister. So he sat Bhima facing the east and gave him a bowl full of the elixir. And Bhima quaffed it at a single draught. The entire assembly was amazed. Vasuki called for more and told Bhima,
"Drink your fill, Bhima. The more you drink, the stronger you will be. Each bowl will give you the strength of 1,000 elephants."
And Bhima emptied 8 bowls of the divine elixir and then slept. Bhima slept for 8 days, and on the 8th day he got up and was fed with the divine food of the Serpent King, and was brought to the surface of the river. He found himself in the place where they had all camped. He returned home to his mother and brothers, and he was greeted with tears of joy by all of them. Kunti could not contain herself. She was so happy. Yudhisthir was able to speak only after a few moments of stunned silence. He was so fond of Bhima, and this week was a week of torture for him. Bhima embraced all of them and pacified his mother, who was now weeping without any restraint. With all the 5 round him, Bhima told them about his strange experience. Vidura came also and heard the story. He advised them to be careful about the hatred that was dwelling in the heart of Duryodhan. The Pandavas were shocked at the fact that there was such a thing as hatred, and in so young a heart. They were so good. They could not imagine that hatred could blind a man to such an extent. Duryodhan saw the object of his hatred alive and well. He had been happy for the last few days, and now the sight of Bhima was a great shock. He was surprised at the miracle that had saved Bhima. He had been so sure of the success of his plot. Sakuni was equally amazed, and Duryodhan's hatred was greater now. But he had to keep silent, because he knew that the Pandavas knew.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.